History through the eyes of those who lived it. This is Hometown Heroes, presented on the air and online by Provident Payments, proudly honoring the men and women whose service and sacrifice have secured our freedom. Now, the host of Hometown Heroes, Paul Leffler.
Welcome to another edition of Hometown Heroes, the program that reminds you no matter where you live in this great country of ours, no matter how big or how small your hometown might be, there are stories there that should not go untold. And they don't have to go untold if we'll do something about it. Time is of the essence, of course, but if we'll take the initiative to ask a few questions and care enough to patiently listen to the responses that start to trickle out, we might just hear something that really adds to our perspective. The idea here is, first of all, to honor our veterans for their service and sacrifice, to preserve their stories so we never forget the price that's been paid for our freedom. And when we do that, not only are we educated, not only are we entertained, but so often we are inspired by these stories from our greatest generation. With our next episode, we're going to return to our usual format of one veteran story from start to finish, but there were a couple of significant events this week, nearly 5,000 miles apart, that you may not have heard about. Both of them commemorating something very important that took place 76 years ago. While the headlines over the last week were dominated by Afghanistan and U.S. forces leaving after 20 years, the complications, challenges, and differing views arising from how that was handled, this last week also marked the 76th anniversary of the official end of a war that didn't last nearly that long, but embroiled the entire world in the deadliest conflict humanity has ever known. September 2nd, 1945 was the day that officials from the U.S. and Japan met on the battleship USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay to sign the Instruments of Surrender that brought World War II to an end. Over the years, we've heard countless veterans share their stories here, and we've heard why that day was so important. But with each successive anniversary, there are fewer and fewer of those World War II veterans still with us to tell the story. This past Thursday at the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C., there were four guests of honor at the official commemoration of the 76th anniversary of the end of the war. Four World War II veterans who all participated in a wreath laying in front of the memorial's Freedom Wall, where 4,000 gold stars signify the more than 400,000 Americans who died while serving in World War II. Before we're done today, we're going to hear audio from some of America's leaders 76 years ago, but first, let's hear the keynote remarks from this week's commemoration at the National World War II Memorial, where the sound of the memorial's centerpiece fountain is always audible behind any speaker, and you may even hear a siren or two racing past the National Mall in Washington. But the words of retired Army General Mick Kicklighter underscored why September 2nd, 1945 is such a significant date to remember.
On this morning, 76 years ago, September the 2nd, 1945, General Douglas MacArthur, supported by Admiral Chester Nimitz and Admiral Bull Halsey and other senior American and Allied military leaders, received 9 Japanese representatives aboard the fleet's flagship, USS Missouri, anchored in Tokyo Bay. 2 copies of the surrender were signed at a small desk on the deck of the Missouri by representatives of each of the Allied nations and the 8 representatives of Japan. That surrender officially marked the end of the war in the Pacific, which brought an end to the most destructive war in history, World War II, where more than 60 million people lost their lives, mostly women, children, and the elderly, who got overrun by that war. Millions were murdered in death camps and concentration camps. And those we honor today won that war, and I might say, against great odds, and not only saved this nation, but they literally, with our allies, saved the world. Thank you all for joining us to help us remember to thank and to honor our World War II veterans. This is a time that we come together to reflect, to remember, and to rededicate ourselves to ensure that we, going forward, preserve this great gift of freedom. And their service and sacrifice will not have been in vain. A special thanks also to the World War II veterans that are with us today. They are our truly our honored guests. Your service and your dedication and your sacrifice made that victory possible 76 years ago. And they're really not words that are adequate or strong enough or appropriate to really say thank you for your service. Thank you for this great nation that you gave us. When that war ended, these veterans came home. Most took off their uniform. Some remained in service to continue to serve. And they said very little about what they'd accomplished in the war. They rolled up their sleeves. Some went back to school on the GI Bill. But together, they built this strong, free, and beautiful America that we're privileged to live in every day. That precious gift came at a very high price. And we're reminded of that price as you look behind me at the wall of the gold stars that represent more than 400,000 young Americans who never came home. They gave all their tomorrows for that great gift of freedom that we should never take for granted. And when you're only 18 or 19 or 20 years old, as most were that are on that wall, all your tomorrows is a very high price to pay. This monument, a gift from the people of this great nation, says in a very special way, and this ceremony says in a very special way, that your service and your sacrifice will never be forgotten. God bless all of our veterans that are with us today. God bless all the World War II veterans still with us across this nation, their families, and especially the Gold Star families. God bless America, and thank you for coming this morning.
Again, that was retired Army General Mick Kicklider at this past Thursday's 76th anniversary commemoration of the end of World War II at the National World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. We're going to hear an excerpt from another observation nearly 5,000 miles west of there in a bit. But if you ever visit the National World War II Memorial, you will find a quote etched in stone from President Harry Truman. Our debt to the heroic men and valiant women in the service of our country can never be repaid, he said. They have earned our undying gratitude. America will never forget their sacrifice. On some of these very same radio airwaves 76 years ago, President Truman addressed the nation, emphasizing the importance of what was happening on the battleship Missouri, looking back over the 4 years of war the nation had endured, and also looking forward to the kind of future he was hoping and praying for.
My fellow Americans, Supreme Allied Commander General MacArthur, and Allied representatives on the battleship Missouri in Tokyo Bay, the thoughts and hopes of all America, indeed of all the civilized world, are centered tonight on the battleship Missouri. There, on that small piece of American soil, anchored in Tokyo Harbor, the Japanese have just officially laid down their arms. They have signed terms of unconditional surrender. 4 years ago, the thoughts and fears of the whole civilized world were centered on another piece of American soil, Pearl Harbor. The mighty threat to civilization which began there is now laid at rest. It was a long road to Tokyo and a bloody one. We shall not forget Pearl Harbor. The Japanese militarists will not forget the USS Missouri. The evil done by the Japanese warlords can never be repaired or forgotten. But their power to destroy and kill has been taken from them. Their armies, and what is left of their navy, are now impotent. To all of us, there comes first a sense of gratitude to Almighty God, who sustained us and our allies in the dark days of grave danger, who made us to grow from weakness into the strongest fighting force in history, and who has now seen us overcome the forces of tyranny that sought to destroy his civilization. God grant that in our pride of this hour, we may not forget the hard tasks that are still before us, that we may approach these with the same courage, zeal, and patience with which we faced the trials and problems of the past 4 years. Our first thoughts, of course, thoughts of gratefulness and deep obligation, go out to those of our loved ones who have been killed or maimed in this terrible war. On land and sea and in the air, American men and women have given their lives so that this day of ultimate victory might come and assure the survival of a civilized world. No victory can make good their loss. We think of those whom death in this war has hurt, taking from them fathers, husbands, sons, brothers and sisters whom they love. No victory can bring back the faces they long to see. Only the knowledge that the victory, which these sacrifices have made possible, will be wisely used, can give them any comfort. It is our responsibility, ours the living, to see to it that this victory shall be a monument worthy of the dead who died to win it. All millions of men and women in our armed forces and merchant marines, all over the world, who, after years of sacrifice and hardship and peril, have been spared by Providence from harm. We think of all the men and women and children who, during these years, have carried on at home in lonesomeness and anxiety and fear. Our thoughts go out to the millions of American workers and businessmen, to our farmers and miners, to all those who have built up this country's fighting strength and who have shipped to our allies the means to resist and overcome the enemy. Our thoughts go out to our civil servants and to the thousands of Americans who, at personal sacrifice, have come to serve in our government during these trying years, to the members of the Selective Service Boards and Ration Boards, to the Civilian Defense and Red Cross workers, to the men and women in the USO and in the entertainment world, to all those who have helped in this cooperative struggle to preserve liberty and decency in the world. We think of our departed gallant leader, Franklin D. Roosevelt, defender of democracy, architect of world peace and cooperation. And our thoughts go out to our gallant allies in this war, to those who resisted the invaders, to those who were not strong enough to hold out, but who, nevertheless, kept the fires of resistance alive within the souls of their people, to those who stood up against great odds and held the line until the United Nations together were able to supply the arms and the men with which to overcome the forces of evil. This is a victory of more than arms alone. This is a victory of liberty over tyranny. From our war plants rolled the tanks and planes which blasted their way to the heart of our enemy. From our shipyards sprang the ships which bridged all the oceans of the world for our weapons and supplies. From our farms came the food and fiber for our armies and navies and for our allies in all the corners of the earth. From our mines and factories came the raw materials and the finished products which gave us the equipment to overcome our enemy. But back of it all were the will and spirit and determination of a free people who know what freedom is and who know that it is worth whatever price they had to pay to preserve it. It was the spirit of liberty which gave us our armed strength and which made our men invincible in battle. We now know that that spirit of liberty, the freedom of the individual, and the personal dignity of man are the strongest and toughest and most enduring forces in all the world. And so on VJ Day, we take renewed faith and pride in our own way of life. We have had our day of rejoicing over this victory. We have had our day of prayer and devotion. Now let us set aside VJ Day as one of renewed consecration to the principles which have made us the strongest nation on earth and which, in this war, we have striven so mightily to preserve. Those principles provide the faith, the hope, and the opportunity which help men to improve themselves and their lot. Liberty does not make all men perfect, nor all society secure, but it has provided more solid progress and happiness and decency for more people than any other philosophy of government in history. And this day has shown again that it provides the greatest strength and the greatest power which man has ever reached. We know that under it we can meet the hard problems of peace which have come upon us. A free people with free allies who can develop an atomic bomb can use the same skill and energy and determination to overcome all the difficulties ahead. Victory always has its burdens and its responsibilities as well as its rejoicing. But we face the future and all its dangers with great confidence and great hope. America can build for itself a future of employment and security. Together with the United Nations, it can build a world of peace founded on justice, fair dealing, and tolerance. As President of the United States, I proclaim Sunday, September the 2nd, 1945, to be VJ Day, the day of the formal surrender of Japan. It is not yet the day for the formal proclamation of the end of the war, nor of the cessation of hostilities, but it is a day which we Americans shall always remember as a day of retribution, as we remember that other day, the day of infamy. From this day, we move forward. We move toward a new era of security at home. With the other United Nations, we move toward a new and better world of cooperation, of peace, and international goodwill. God's help has brought us to this day of victory. With His help, we will attain that peace and prosperity for ourselves and all the world in the years ahead.
President Harry Truman, 76 years ago, on September 2nd, 1945. It's time for our first break, but when we come back, what General Douglas MacArthur and Admiral Chester Nimitz had to say from the deck of the battleship Missouri on that historic day, and a ceremony aboard the Mighty Mo this week with a story of one American's effort to make sure a very special and historic flag was present for the surrender. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.
Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.org and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.